Don't miss the world's premier Christian Counseling Conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AACC United World Conference. See you in September.
Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we are your co-hosts. On behalf of us both, thank you so much for listening.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org to donate. We'd love for you to become a part of our family. We're on a mission to help strengthen your mental health and relationships with God and those you love the most. Help us as we work to strengthen, again, families and bring a message of help, hope, and encouragement to today's generations.
Your gift ensures this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's show, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's go ahead and get started.
Today, I'm joined by Ken Harrison. He's the CEO of Waterstone, a Christian foundation that helps donors give away $3 million each week to advance God's kingdom. Ken's the author of two books that inspires believers to boldly proclaim their faith in a dark world, Rise of the Servant Kings, and A Daring Faith in a Cowardly World. Coming out of Father's Day weekend, Ken's here to encourage us all, but especially men, to stand up and live the Christian life boldly and unashamedly. Ken, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you. Well, the most important one I've been on is your show, Tim, of course.
There you go, Ken. Glad to have you back, too. Hey, as we get started, Ken, a lot of people are saying America's back. Trump calls it the golden age of America. But, Ken, what's interesting, in the middle of all those conversations, people are saying this: faith is back. Something's happening across the nation. People believe the seeds of revival are being sown. But Ken, the research that's coming out on men, and I know you have a real heart for men, young men in particular, seem like they're turning on fire for God. Ken, is it true? What are you seeing? What are you hearing?
You know what's funny? So two points on that. The first one is a little bit of a correction to the church. Yes, America's back. Yes, faith is back. And if we think it's Donald Trump that's going to bring us back and keep us back, we're desperately wrong. That movement's great, and you and I both very supportive of it. But we have got to take this and make it a faith-based, Christ-based thing. The second is, I think, you know, this younger generation was built with the everybody gets a trophy mentality. You know, we're playing soccer, and nobody knows who won, and everybody gets a trophy. And every little boy out there, they're 6 or 7 years old, are going, well, no, the score was 12-8. And I scored 3 goals and Johnny scored 2. That means I'm better than Johnny and we won. And those kids have kind of grown up with this idea that adults are boneheads. And now they're sort of going in. And now those same adults who've kind of abandoned traditional values, I don't trust them. And where can I look? And I think they're returning back to not just Christ, but I think a fundamentalist attitude. They're going back to the Catholic Church, the Anglican Church. They're tired of our generation's flip-flops and skinny jeans church, and they're looking for tradition and something that really has a reverence for God. And I applaud all of that, because I do think we've gone a little bit too far with our our lack of reverence in the church today. We sort of show up sloppy and with a cup of coffee and leave early. And I think this is a great movement all around. It's being led by young men who voted, by the way, the same Trump thing I just talked about.
Ken, do you think some of it goes back to the beat down on men over the last few years about them just being toxic masculinity? That was the buzzword. And in the midst of it, it was like, man, you're nothing but a buffoon, lazy, nothing but a drunk porn addict. You could care less. You grunt, scratch, do whatever. And you, Ken, you know it's true. And in the middle of it, men got sick and tired of being sick and tired of all this stuff. I mean, just it was like, wait a second. And then I think women began to turn a little bit. I think a lot of women stepped back and said, we love the men in our life. I love my dad. I love my brothers. I love my uncle. I care about my coworkers or whatever. And by the way, they didn't want them to be soft. They wanted them to be men. It's like, be a man. Be masculine. Masculinity is not toxic. Behavior is toxic, Ken. Masculinity is not. We need masculinity.
Preach it, man. Preach it. You know, you and I have talked a lot about this. And when I ran Promise Keepers, I used to say this all the time. Like, who, even for young women, well, who are they going to marry? Who are our daughters going to marry? Who's dating them? And this idea that men are all this or that. And we have to remember that our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers of darkness. And we in the church get this wrong. We call Satan, Satan, as if it's a name, but it isn't. It's a title. The name Satan means the accuser and the liar. And so when we see these things that we're dealing with, they're lies. And it's such a breath of fresh air, because you and I, Tim, were talking, I don't know, 7, 8 years ago about the younger generation. And we were really scared because of how they'd been raised and what would happen. And it turns out that they've rebelled in a really good way. I remember Bono said like 20 years ago, where's the angry young man? You know, you look at the punk rock movement. There's always been these generational angry young men doing things. But we actually hadn't seen it. They were gotten really soft 10 years ago. Now we're seeing the angry young man, but thank the Lord, they're angry towards values. And one of the things that I know we're going to get into a little bit, but the importance of is identity. And I preach on this all the time, and you've heard me preach on it a lot. It's how you perceive yourself dictates how you live your life. And so one of the things we've done in the church that has been a mistake is we've said, you are a sinner saved by grace. Well, yes, that's almost true. But the best lie is the one that's closest to the truth but leads you to the wrong conclusion. Because if I leave you at you're a sinner saved by grace, then what's your identity? Your identity is, well, I'm a sinner. And we've got a whole evangelical church lit up with, I'm a sinner, but luckily God still loves me anyway. No, you're a sinner saved by grace, and now you are a son of the Most High God. The Bible says son or daughter, but the Bible says son of the Most High God, the euphemism being the son, the most valued offspring. So if we identify now realizing, yes, I was a sinner saved by grace, but now I'm a prince. I am here to complete the good works, Ephesians 2:10, that I have been dictated at the beginning of time for me to accomplish. That changes and makes the difference. Thank the Lord. Thankfully for some godly leaders who have actually had the spine to stand up against these evil times we live in. There's some really great new preachers coming out today. That young men have now been captured by truth, and they're throwing off this identity that's been put on them by the evil society and saying, no, I'm going to act like a man. And thank God that they are.
Ken, in the midst of it, you wrote, I think it was your first book, on the rise of servant kings. What was the message in that? Because I think it ties in right here.
Yeah, it's what the subtitle of that is, what the Bible says about being a man. And it's very blunt advice about masculinity. Fathers give their identity to their children. So when mothers are the constant. Mothers are the constant in love. I mean, not in every case, obviously. You've got all kinds of wickedness. But for the most part, the mother's the one you can count on to always give you love. She's always going to be there when you fall, scrape your elbow, and the little boy, mom's going to run over there and pick you up and kiss your elbow and tell you it's better while you cry and put you back down. But a father is the one who sometimes says to the boy who scrapes his elbow and says to his wife, well, hold on, let him cry. And he looks up to see, you know, how am I supposed to react to this? And he sees his dad looking at him calmly. He goes, maybe it's not that bad. So when you don't have a father in the home, then you end up with just the mother side of things, which is the love security side. And then you grow up to be a weak man. You need both of those involved. And so we see how men are important in their lives, and they give identity to their kids. A man is the one who says to his son, now you're a man. I remember when my son came to me. He was a Hunter, stud wrestler in college and his freshman year. I said something to him about being a boy, and just an off statement. It wasn't an accusation or anything. He said, "Well, boy, you mean man?" I said, "No. You don't think I'm a man yet?" I said, "Who pays for your college?" "Well, you do." "Who pays for your car? And who pays for your insurance? And who pays for..." "Well, you do." I said, "Then you're not a man. You're a man when you take care of yourself. And when you and the people who are dependent on you are cared for by you, you're a man. Until then, as long as you're dependent on me, you're still a boy." So a dad gives his son and daughters, but especially important with sons, his identity. Well, now, with so much of that lacking, we need to have truth. We need to have men rise up and identify for young boys who were raised without fathers and young girls. This is why you're a man or a woman. There's so many fatherless kids now that they need for us as Christian men in love to rise up and do our part within the church or wherever we can to help declare for young men and women, this is what it takes to be a man or a woman, and this is when you've become one.
And I think everybody would agree the greatest social ill of our day is the absence of fathers from the home. I'll add godly fathers from the home. A lot of people are saying that. Ken, in the midst of it, we have raised a generation of fatherless fathers now. They're out there trying to figure this out. A lot of them are stepping up to the plate saying, "Not in my house. We're going to change this dynamic." Ken, I think a lot of that spilled over into your more recent book, A Daring Faith in a Cowardly World. And you're challenging Christians to also step up, step in. Be bold. Don't be timid. Be strong for Christ. That's what you want them to be. Ken, I want to stay with the boy issue for a moment because some of these kids grew up in homes where they were hurt by their father. You know that? He didn't look out for them. You talked about protectors, providers, and more. Or he abandoned them. They were gone. And they got these father wounds. We hear a lot about father thirst, father hunger. Ken, what do you say to them as they are trying to, quote, make their way, navigate their way, largely without male influence, without a dad? What do you say to moms? What do you say to the church about stepping into this place, into this special place? That's what I'd call it.
When I was in the LAPD Police Academy, I'll never forget what they said. They said, you know, every 6 months you switch partners. The LAPD, Los Angeles Police Department, doesn't have any corruption. And the reason is because every 3 months they make you switch partners. So you never get so comfortable that you could be on the take. You know what I'm saying? And so what they said is every 3 months, you're going to get a new partner. And what you need to do is take the good things that you learn from your partner and get away the bad things. Because your partner will teach you how to be a good cop. And he'll also teach you how not to be a bad cop, right? By watching his faults. And I would say the same thing in life, that if you didn't have a good father, then what you need to do is look at men and say, well, I don't want to be like that. What caused him to be like that? And I do want to be like that guy. And if you see a guy whom you want to emulate, we'll get to know that person. Or if it's a speaker, listen more to that person. And I would say, what does Jesus say? If you don't forgive somebody, then I won't forgive you. And I can't tell you, when I ran Promise Keepers, the amount of men come to me whining and sniveling about the fact that everything in their life is their dad's fault. Let me tell you something. We all had a different place from which we started. Some of us had no fathers. Some of us had horrible fathers. Some of us had great fathers. So we all had a different starting line from which we started. But where you are today is on you. Who did you decide to be? Are you going to forgive your dad and move on? Or are you going to whine? And I mean, I've had guys in their 70s explain to me why their two divorces and all their jacked up kids are all their dad's fault. No, it isn't. You may have had a harder time, but you need to step up and be a man and decide, who will I be? But you need to be who you are. And God will give you the power as you abandon yourself. And the last thing on that is, I'm very critical of Christian counseling sometimes, which is inconvenient when I'm your friend. But Christian counseling can be very valuable. It can be very valuable. But a lot of times it isn't valuable, because a lot of times what Christian counseling is, I'm going to pay you money so I can talk about myself all the time. And that isn't the gospel. The gospel is die to your rights to yourself. And so counseling should be helping people on the road to Christ get over it and move on. Now, for some people, it's harder than others. I'm not trying to minimize things. But we have got to learn to forgive others and realize I am now the father to my kids. So how will I be? And if I'm going to use my dad's excuse, well, then someday I guess my jacked up kids are going to be using me as an excuse for how they are. So what choice are you going to make in your life?
Again, I separate it out this way. We're not to blame for what happened to us. We're not to blame for that. But we're responsible for the road forward. Getting there is work, and it takes time and effort, and you got to get after it, and it's your responsibility. Those are tough words for people to swallow, but at the end of the day, it's what it is. Otherwise, you're going to live in a victim mentality your whole life. You're always going to be dictated or controlled by your circumstances around you. You can't stay there. It'll kill you is what it will do. Misery loves company. You start hanging out with the wrong crowd. They keep reinforcing the garbage. You know that? Hey, at least my friends accept me for who I am. I remember Andy Andrews saying, maybe it's time to get beyond the they accept me for who I am crowd. And faithful are the wounds of a friend. You get to a place where you start pressing into a whole new world and saying, God, help me to take great steps forward to the glory of God. That's what we need to do. And accomplish God's purposes in our life, in our lifetime. That's what it's about. Ken, no wonder you probably put together that book then, A Daring Faith in a Cowardly World. After this conversation, I'm thinking, now it makes sense to me. I get it. And that's the message you've got for the church. You're saying to the church, stop it. It's time to step up. It's time to, quote, stop being passive. Stop being silent. Stop being shamed. Stop being stigmatized. Stop living in that lane and start what? Living for God, standing boldly. You said it's time for us to, quote, experience a spiritual revival. Well, hey, draw a circle and step inside of it and say, God, start it right here inside this circle. That's the kind of thing we've got to get going.
And dare I say, stop being cowardly. Stop being cowardly. You know, Jesus said, if you see your brother in sin, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. What's the beginning of that? Rebuking people who are claiming to be Christians in their sin. And if I was your enemy, and I know that the absolute foundation of Christianity is love, right? And we have an enemy, a liar. What's the best way then to get you off track? It's to misidentify what it means to love. So what is it that we see as love in the American culture today? It's being nice to everybody. But true love isn't being nice to everybody. True love is wanting somebody's best. We're not talking about husband and wife love here. We're talking about Christian love is I want your best, even if it's not my best, even if it hurts me. Well, if I love my children, am I always going to do what's nice? Of course not. If I love somebody who's a heroin addict, the nice thing to do is to give him more heroin, but that's not the loving thing to do. And so we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, do not be deceived. The sexually immoral, adulterers, idolaters, homosexuals, greedy people, liars, swindlers, and I forget the last one, will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And so are many of you, but you've been washed, you've been redeemed, you've been sanctified in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I love you, Tim, and I happen to know that you're an idolater, that you worship baseball, is it loving to help you see more baseball, or is it loving to come beside you and the words of Jesus rebuke you in your sin and say, Tim, you've got to change or you're not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven? And the kingdom of heaven, as I explain in Daring Faith, is not heaven. It doesn't mean you're going to go to hell for those things. It means you will not have God's best and you will not be really part of the bride of Christ, but it's a whole different thing. So if I want to get everybody off track, all I have to do is misidentify what it means to love, which means just run around being nice to everybody.
Ken, we've got some work to do. I know we're fighting time here. I no doubt people are saying, hey, who is this guy, Ken Harrison? They've heard of you. But those books, Rise of a Servant King and then A Daring Faith in a Cowardly World and more, people want to learn more about you, Ken. Where can they go? Maybe get a copy of the book, dial in a little bit on this messaging you're talking about.
Yeah, kenrharrison.com and then waterstone.org and those books. And then you can get those on Amazon or wherever you, I guess I should know of a Christian group that I advertise instead of Amazon. But
Ken, I'd like to close this way. Closing word to dads. You know, I've always dreamt that if what we did in our ministry encouraged a dad to show up at the game and to be present and to love on his boy, to represent Christ to his kid, then we've done something. And Ken, I can't think of a more important topic right now than for men, dads, to be present and be powerful in the lives of their kid.
You know, I just had a breakfast meeting with a guy who private equity bought his company and ran it into the ground and then they sued each other and he won and he got his company back and got to keep the money. And he was telling me, my wife's really angry with me because I cashed in and I was supposed to be spending all this time with her and the kids, but now I'm back and I built my business up again and I'm so busy all over again. And I said, why? I mean, you got to keep all that money. So why are you working so hard? Well, I'm going to show those guys that ran into the ground that that I can build up the business and I didn't need them. And I said, do you think they care? Do you think they care at all? So your wife is angry with you and your kids are suffering without you being there because you have some vengeance thing in your head against a bunch of private equity guys who are all multimillionaires who could care less whether you live or die. Does that sound like a good life plan for you? And he said, well, no. You as a dad have a chance. I think the greatest thing that a person can do is have godly offspring. It says that in Malachi chapter 3. God wants godly offspring. It is the greatest thing in the world. And I would just say to every father out there, if you're young, do whatever you can to raise godly children. If you're old and you've already screwed up and you've got a daughter who's disenfranchised or bitter, the best words you can ever say are, I am sorry. Acknowledge where you screwed up and say, I wasn't the best dad, but I sure would like to have a relationship with you. And I'm telling you, I don't care if your daughter is 5 or 50, she wants her dad to be your hero. And I don't care if your son is 5 or 50, he wants a dad he can look up to and say, that's my dad. Go through some of the wounded things, swallow your pride. There will not be a more joyous thing you can have than to have kids who love you. And so wherever you are in that spectrum, do what it takes to raise godly kids or to go back and reconcile with your kids. You'd be shocked, I think, if you show some humility at how fast your kids will respond. And if they don't, then you did the right thing by the Lord and he will reward you for it.
Ken Harrison, what a delight to have you on the broadcast today. On behalf of my son, Zach, whom you know, Dr. Zach Clinton, and our entire team.
Is he doctor now?
He is Dr. Zach. That's a big deal. Ken, it's amazing what God's doing, seriously. But hey, we salute you and that voice of yours, that influence for such a time as this. Pray that God would strengthen your heart and your resolve and bless your family. Thank you for joining me.
You too, man. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Don't miss the world's premier Christian counseling conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops. So you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AACC United World Conference. See you in September.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Do people ever come to you asking for help?
maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.